Hey, this is Rick Cassells from ExercisesForInjuries.com. Today I have another interview for you, and I've interviewed him a few times before, but I wanted to kind of catch up, touch base with him, see what's new. So I will get him to introduce himself. So Eric, I'll get you to introduce yourself to the listeners, and we'll go
first
from there.
Off, thanks for having me. It's good to be back as always. But as a brief background, I run Crescent Performance. It's a gym I co-founded with my business partners here in Massachusetts. We're about 40 minutes west of Boston, and we work with clients really from all walks of life. Our niche, so to speak, has been baseball players that we've carved out. So that's about 80% of our clientele, and it's probably a big hit with a lot of your clientele simply because it's a population that endures a lot of injuries, and we have to do a ton of corrective exercise work with them to prevent those injuries in the first place. So it certainly bodes well in the context of us having maybe similar lines of sight with respect to the industry. But in addition to kind of the in-person presence here in Boston, I do a lot of writing, I do a lot of consulting and presenting in the industry on everything from athletic training type stuff with performance training oriented material all the way to corrective exercise with a particular focus on shoulder and elbow stuff. So a lot of upper extremity work is kind of my thing. So that's kind of me in a nutshell, so to speak.
Perfect. So something you brought up on your blog was kind of talking about strength gains. So, like, why are people not getting strength gains, and why is it important, like, for the athlete to build up strength and also for, like, the general population client to kind of spend some time focusing on building strength?
Yeah, I mean, strength is certainly important for everybody. I use the analogy of, strength is like a glass, and all the other athletic qualities that you may encounter are like the fluids within the glass, meaning that if you don't have an adequate foundation of strength, it's hard to add agility, it's hard to add power, it's hard to add endurance. So a prerequisite, to any kind of athletic activity is strength. So in that context, if you look at the general population, what we see in the older individuals is really the age-related loss in power is the biggest issue that we see. So power obviously falls off when strength falls off and we aren't able to actually train for power. So there's certainly, important things to consider for everybody. A lot of people don't really realize that stability is really just a derivative of strength. Stability is how quickly we're able to stabilize joint complexes. If we don't have adequate strength to create that stiffness at joints to stabilize us, that's where we run into issues. So strength has a lot of far-reaching effects, not just for athletes, but also for general population folks as well. In terms of how people actually make mistakes with strength training programs, well, I think there's a lot of things. I think they don't maybe rotate exercises often enough, so they get burned out on one particular exercise and can wind up with, a pattern overload. In some cases, people, tend to adhere to the exercises they're really good at as opposed to the ones that they actually need. I think, some people forget to take deloading periods where they, take breaks in the action to allow their body to rebound and come back stronger than it was previously. I think some people train with the wrong rep ranges. Maybe they don't go quite heavy enough, or they go, too heavy too often. So there's really, thousands of different mistakes you can make with respect to strength development. But an important thing is that you kind of get a program in place that avoids all of them.
Okay. And sometimes you've ended up calling what you do, like a strength and conditioning program. And a lot of people, when they hear that, they think of athletes, and that's what athletes end up doing. Now, how can that end up being applicable, like a strength conditioning program, when it relates to, the personal training client or the exercise enthusiast? How can that end up benefiting them, or maybe how can they maybe look at a strength and conditioning program different other than just being for athletes?
I always joke that, we deal with a ton of professional athletes. I mean, I've done evaluations on three of them today alone just because our offseason is just starting up for baseball players. But I always tell our folks that, really there's not a huge difference between the Joes and the pros. Really the biggest difference that they have is what they encounter during their daily life. But in the context of what they do to prepare for those activities, they aren't entirely different. There are a lot of things that every strength conditioning program needs to, include. There's got to be foam rolling. There's got to be mobility work. There's got to be, horizontal pulling, single leg training. You need to fluctuate training stress. You need to have deloading periods. You need to work extra on your posterior chain as opposed to just doing a lot of quad dominant stuff. You need to have open and closed chain movements. All this stuff regardless of the population in question. We just kind of shift the focus in some cases up or down depending on the person. But, at the end of the day, you know, pro athletes are just like everyone else in the sense that, you know, they have competing demands in their life. They have families, they have work, they have hectic travel schedules where they spend too much time on planes and buses. So, you know, they're very similar to everyone else where we need to make sure that we choose the right exercises to give them the best bang for their buck. We need to have a lot of, you know, what we would call training economy. We need to get a lot out of a little when we get into the weight room or we go out to the track and sprint or whatever it may be. So I think a lot of people get this, you know, this perception that they can't learn from, you know, looking at programs that pro athletes do or, you know, people who work with pro athletes, when in reality, sometimes those are the best people to look at because they're trying to manage the, you know, that the stakes are the highest. You know, there's money lost when someone gets hurt, you know, in professional baseball or professional football, whereas, you know, if you blot your back, you can usually still go to work and, you know, work at a desk and things like that. So there's definitely higher stakes, and sometimes that means that the quality of training and quality of education is that much better.
Okay. And then, so you mentioned a number of things when it talks about, like, the mistakes of strength gaining programs, and you've mentioned a whole bunch of components when it comes to what a strength conditioning program should include. And for most people, I know either if they're an exercise enthusiast, they might focus just on, you know, strength representing dumbbell and barbell work or kettlebell work, or let's say some exercise enthusiasts might just think of just cardiovascular as their program, while some trainers might just think of, you know, cardiovascular flexibility and strength. And you've kind of interjected all these other different components, which, you know, are kind of a combination of, you know, your experience, your learning, kind of what you've tried out in the trenches with your athletes and yourself. Now, maybe you can kind of highlight what are, like, three areas that are often missed, you know, by trainers and exercise enthusiasts in their programs.
Yeah, I think there are a couple. I think the first one would be tissue quality, and that's kind of a broad term that I think we're still, as an industry, figuring out. But I think for the longest time, we spent we paid a ton of attention to working on tissue length, so, you know, doing flexibility work and increasing range of motion at joints. But I think a lot of times we've overlooked the role of tissue quality, so how much soft tissue work can help. And I think probably the best example of that is if you look at the overall majority of female clients, they actually have a ton of laxity. They have pretty loose joints, but a lot of them will still comment on how they feel tight sometimes, and they want to stretch, they want to go to yoga class, things like that. And that tightness could be simply, you know, the simple fact that it's protective tension because they don't have enough stability at an adjacent joints. But in many cases, it's also that they have some kind of poor tissue quality in some area that could be freed up by some good foam rolling, some good manual therapy, massage, something along those lines. So I think a lot of people have missed sight of the fact that, you know, using some good soft tissue work in your program can actually make a big, big difference and maybe make a lot of your flexibility training easier or allow you to eliminate it altogether for people where it may be kind of contraindicated. I think that's a big one that we see nowadays. I think the other one that jumps out at me right away is just the role of inconsistency. I think we have a lot of trainers and coaches who, you know, put 1,000% effort into, you know, improving the program, making the program absolutely perfect, and, you know, debating the difference between 5 reps and 6 reps in a given set. And, you know, they really harp on it over and over and over again. When in reality, I think more important than anything is emphasizing consistency in training. I'd rather have a mediocre program executed with 100% adherence and 100% intensity as opposed to a terrific program where someone only shows up 50% of the time or gives a lackluster effort. So, you know, a program is one thing, but I think it's important for us to realize that how that program is implemented and executed really is a big, big deal that I think a lot of trainers overlook.
Okay. And talking about all these different components that you've kind of put together, now you've kind of created a resource where you are, I've almost kind of, you know, bring people in to what you end up doing with your athletes and kind of showing them, you know, how you design programs and how they can design a program for themselves based upon what you guys do at Cressy Performance and what you end up doing about your athletes. So maybe you can kind of talk about, you know, who this resource is not for, you know, who it's for, and what can people kind of expect from the program that you put together.
Absolutely. You know, so I think the first person it's not for is someone who's actually legitimately in pain. You know, I mean someone who is a candidate for actually being in rehab. So you obviously want to make sure that you get your issues taken care of before you jump into any program that isn't designed particularly with your needs in mind. You know, that said, we have had a ton of people from all different walks of life who have done really well with Show and Go simply because it's a program that has a certain number of modifications in place that allow you to make it a versatile resource, meaning that whether you're a triathlete or a power lifter or a competitive athlete, there are, you know, modifications you can make in terms of metabolic conditioning and what you do on your off days from training to really make it, you know, adjustable for your needs, so to speak. So we have 2 days a week, 3 days a week, and 4 days a week of strength training templates. So, you know, if you're an in-season athlete, you can do the 2 days a week approach. If you're an off-season athlete, you can do the 4 times a week approach. You know, if you're a general fitness person who, you know, maybe has a more hectic schedule and you can only get in the gym 2 or 3 days a week, you have options for those. So really what we tried to do is make it as versatile as we could so that people could be consistent with their training and get in there as much as possible. So, you know, I always, you know, answer the question when people ask, you know, who's this program right for? It's right for anyone who's willing to just consider their own unique circumstances and modify the program accordingly for what they need. And we give you all the tools that you need to make those correct selections, you know, easily so that they'll work for you.
Awesome. And I've used components of the program. I really like the tissue quality stuff that you end up having there, the mobility stuff, and how you really highlight, you know, certain conditions or people's kind of limitations and giving them options of what to do as opposed to people like trying to figure out how am I going to do this exercise if I can't do it.
Absolutely, that's the goal, isn't, you know, and there's also a pretty comprehensive video database that goes along with the program. There's over 175 exercises in it, so you'll understand the techniques on all the exercises that we include in the program. And there's also actually a chapter devoted to exercise modifications. So if you're someone that works out at home and you don't have access to a squat rack, it's no problem because you can sub in something else that we give you. If you don't have access to barbells, here's what you do. If you don't have dumbbells, here's what you do. If you don't have cable, here's what you can plug in instead. So we try to make it versatile in that regard by giving people, alternatives to exercise, you know, limitations that they may have.
Awesome. So thank you very much, Eric, for your time. Maybe you can let people know where they can get more information about you and about your Show and Go program.
Right on. My website is ericcressy.com. ericcressey, publish a free daily blog and a pretty regular newsletter as well. And then Show and Go, you can post the link right underneath. It's just showandgotraining.com.
Awesome. So thank you very much for your time, Eric.
Thank you very much for having me.
No worries. And thank you very much, Exercises for Injuries listeners. Eric's got a great blog with great information, and his program Show and Go is excellent. I'll have a link to it and some more notes about the program below this interview. So thank you very much for listening to this interview. We will see you at exercisesforinjuries.com. So this is Rick Cassell saying take care and bye-bye.